Hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Ghana will go against neighbor Ivory Coast in Sunday's 30th Africa Cup of Nations football final in Bata, Equatorial Guinea. Ghana advanced Thursday with a thorough 3-0 victory over host Equatorial Guinea in the capital, Malabo. Ghanaian football great Abedi Pele had reason to be proud. Two of his sons, Jordan and Andre, both scored for the Black Stars. But Equatorial Guinea did not have reason to be proud when it came to the shameful behavior of the local fans who were responsible for a delay in the match of more than 30 minutes. Security forces fired tear gas and a helicopter was used to clear the crowd, almost emptying the stadium before the game finally ended. Our African football guru, David Legg, tells us more.
The Equatorial Guinea fans absolutely frustrated at their rather meek surrender of their national team, losing 3-0 to Ghana. They took it out on the Ghanaian supporters and everybody else in general, hurling missiles right, left and center. And the sad thing, Sonny, is we've spoken so many times on your show about this. What particularly disappointed me was the very slow reaction of the security officials. Where exactly were they? The delay went on and on and on. And at one stage, I actually was worried if play would resume. In criticizing the spectators, I must praise the match officials. They clearly had a word with the two teams. And I noticed that instead of about 11 minutes of play when it did resume, they only played a couple of minutes and thankfully brought the game to a conclusion. But you know, this is the second now big black stain, Sonny, on this Cup of Nations. Last Saturday, a very dubiously awarded penalty for Equatorial Guinea in a shock 2-1 win over Tunisia. And the latest on that, incidentally, is that Tunisia at this stage, just a few hours before the deadline to apologize to CAF, who were upset at the insinuation that they had basically fixed the result. The Tunisians are standing firm. They're not apologizing. And we could well face the situation at the 2017 qualifiers where neither Morocco nor Tunisia, two of the giants of North African football, will be involved in the competition. And then moving on, Sonny, to the brighter side, so to speak, of the semi-final. Yes, a very proud father will be Abedi Pele. Jordan brought into the team for the injured Asamoah Gyan. He converted a penalty on 42 minutes to put Ghana ahead, and it was no more than the Black Stars deserved. They looked a class above the Equatorial Guineans from the very beginning. There is, after all, an 81-place difference between the countries on the FIFA world rankings. And the longer the game went on, the more obvious that became. And then to me, Sonny, the killer blow. 1 minute into stoppage time, a lightning counterattack by the Ghanaians caught the Equatorial Guineans cold. They were heavily outnumbered. It really was a question of which Ghanaian was going to shoot at goal. It was Mubarak Wakaso, and he rifled the ball past Felipe Ovono for the second goal. And I thought to myself, well, that's it. The Equatorial Guineans, they showed a lot of spirit. They resisted well, if at times a bit disorganized. But I couldn't see them getting two goals back. They just didn't have that firepower up front. Ghana came close on several occasions in the second half. And then with 15 minutes left came the inevitable third goal. Ovono blocked the ball, but it ran loose to Kwesi Appiah, who crossed it for Andre Ayew to push the ball into the net. And that, Sonny, is the third goal by the senior of the two Ayews. He's the older brother of Jordan in this tournament. And a very comprehensive win. And it sets up what could be a really classic final. Ghana and Ivory Coast met in the final also in 1992. A And that was goalless after 120 minutes. It went to a marathon penalty shootout, which the Ivorians won 11-10 for their only African Cup of Nations title. Ghana, on the other hand, they have won the title four times. But you've got to go back 33 years to Tripoli in Libya for their last triumph when they beat the Libyans on penalties after extra time. So the Ivorians, it's 23 years since their last title. Ghana, 33 years. So to put it mildly, Sonny, they're both very, very thirsty for another title.
David, getting back to the fan violence in Equatorial Guinea, do you expect any long-term suspension for Equatorial Guinea?
Well, it's a very interesting question, Sonny, because this Saturday, according to the schedule, at the same stadium in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea are due to play the Democratic Republic of Congo for third place in the tournament. Now, the question must be, can that match now go ahead in Malabo? I would suggest not. Perhaps it can be moved to the mainland, to Bata, with a very heightened security presence. And I really want to stress that, Sonny. I was deeply, deeply disappointed at the slow reaction of the security. They seemed to be almost paralyzed in the beginning. It was quite obvious what was going on, and yet they seemed to take forever to react. CAF, Sonny, they could get really tough. They could say, right, DR Congo get a walkover and they finish third. You know, there's a lot of debate, Sonny, about these third-place playoffs, whether there's any real value to them.
Finally, David, looking ahead to Sunday's final, do you anticipate a close match between the Elephants of Ivory Coast and the Black Stars of Ghana?
I do, Sonny. I don't see it as being one-sided, which unfortunately, in the end, both semifinals became. I mean, DR Congo put up a good fight against Ivory Coast, but when they went 3-1 down after 68 minutes, one had a sense of the Leopards. They had run their race and they weren't going to come back. But the Ivorians and the Ghanaians, Sonny, they look well matched. I mean, Sylvain Gbogo, the new Ivorian goalkeeper, I think he's brought a lot of solidity to the defence. And there you've got the likes of Kolo Touré, the great Liverpool defender. You've got Yaya Touré in midfield. And then up front, you've got Wilfred Bonney, eager to shoulder that £28 million transfer fee from Swansea to Manchester City was money well spent. So there's some stars on the Ivorian side. Of course, you've also got the dreadlock genius, Gervinho. And then if we turn to Ghana, they've got John Boy in defence. In midfield, you've got Andre Ayew pulling the strings. And the fact that they rested Asamoah Gyan, I think it's going to turn out to be a good move because he probably now will fully recover from that abdominal injury he sustained in the quarterfinal win over Guinea, and he will be available for the final. So, Sonny, plenty of stars. I think a lot of anticipation. And dare I say it, let's just hope that a word that begins with S, S-E-C-U-R-I-T-Y, that spells security, is a very strong point. This just keeps repeating itself, Sonny. It's like a bad dream. And let's just hope that, dare I say it, CAF have learned a lesson.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg. Equatorial Guinea's head coach, Esteban Becker, apologized for the violent incidents in the semifinal against Ghana. Meanwhile, the Israeli head coach of Ghana, Avram Grant, praised the resilience of his players after the disturbances during the match.
Also in life, to know when things are not going well, to look for solution and not to give up. This is very important. And I saw it in my players from the first day I must stay. But as I told you before, I didn't know them so well, so I didn't know how to pick information, everything. And I must say they did it very, very well. They show a lot of mental strength in a very difficult situation. And I think also they show to the people in the country that there is a group of players that they can count on them and enjoy from them.
That's Avram Grant, the Israeli head coach of Ghana's Nations Cup football team. Ghana will play neighbor Ivory Coast in Sunday's Nations Cup final in Bata, Equatorial Guinea. One of the Ghanaian reporters who witnessed Thursday's fan violence in Malabo is Samuel Tai Adano, who works for Ghana's Daily Graphic newspaper.
This is disgusting. A game of football, you either win, you draw, or you lose. So if you lose a game, must you be throwing bottles and stones? And I mean, it's unreasonable. And I think that the government or the CAF itself should take a look at this and either consider doing something to punish them, because it's not football. And at the point, some of the stones and the bottles were being thrown against them, and they felt unsafe, so the only thing was to move away. Because earlier on, there was information that if we beat them, they were going to beat us. Currently, we don't know even what is happening to our supporters. We hear two people are feared dead. That is information circulating. So it's quite dangerous. And even us as journalists from Ghana, we are not safe. We are afraid. And we are playing the final in Bata. We don't know our state now. So either the government looks at this or CAF takes a position in us.
That's Samuel Tai Adano, a reporter for Ghana's Daily Graphic newspaper. And Samuel spoke from Equatorial Guinea's capital, Malabo. In the wake of Thursday's crowd trouble, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, has fined Equatorial Guinea $100,000. CAF also says the country's national team, nicknamed the National Thunder, will have to play a game behind closed doors if there are any repeats of the crowd trouble. That means fans will attend Saturday's third-place match in Malabo between Equatorial Guinea and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Congolese defender Gabriel Zakuani tweeted that he wants the third-place match called off. Gabriel said, if the Equatorial Guinea fans are throwing rocks and glass at players, in his words, Equatorial Guinea can have third place. Zakuani said, and I quote, I love football, but I prefer to live. More than 30 fans were reportedly injured in the violence Thursday. In a statement, CAF said 14 fans were taken to hospital units, and one case requires close monitoring. On a happier note, five players are now tied for the Golden Boot Award, given to the top scorer at the end of the Nations Cup. All have three goals. They are Tieve Bifuma of Congo Brazzaville, Dumisi Mbokani of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ahmed Akachi of Tunisia, Javier Balboa of Equatorial Guinea, and Andre Ayew of Ghana. Ayew and Balboa each have one more match to play, so they can add to their total, but the other players are on teams that have been eliminated.
Voice of America!
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The voice of America. VOA.
Hello, everybody. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the voice of America has been the voice of freedom. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, thank you all for being the proud and steady voice of America.
Voice of America!
And thank you, President Obama, for your support of the Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Michael Dubinsky. Kick it, Michael!
Kick it! Yeah. Washington.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, the VOA's Downtown Brown, joined by his buddy Tef Tef, will have our English Premier League football question of the week.
Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And this is Tef Tef.
So the question of the week was, the race for the top four place and a berth in the UEFA Champions League is really heating up. Only 6 points currently separating West Ham from Southampton and Arsenal, who is tied at four. Do you see West Ham, Liverpool, or Tottenham making a run into the top four places before the season ends? So, Tef, who do you pick?
I would go with Magnus Chisomomudiwe. Forgive me if I murdered your name. He says, I see a bright prospect for Liverpool, and that's if their Daniel Sturridge will reclaim the form that earned him lots of goals for Liverpool last season. For West Ham and Spurs, the chances are slim. I like this answer because, number one, yes, Daniel Sturridge just came back to the Premier League last weekend, and he announced himself by scoring a goal that guaranteed the win. He played okay midweek as well in the FA Cup against Bolton. But what I like about Liverpool in general is that their team is actually working together now. Somehow, you know, after Gerrard's decision to make this his last season there, they seem to be working a lot better. Sterling is in great shape, as he's always been. Coutinho is growing on me. He's, I just think he was very, you know, I think he dribbled a lot.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Like, his passing is improved
definitely
over the season.
Because, I mean, he's very skillful, but he's... Yeah. He's still very like light in the Premier League, like he can be pushed over.
Yeah.
But he's handling it well, including scoring a winner against Bolton midweek. Outside of that, I think Spurs have an okay chance, but their lineup does. I mean, they have some of the toughest games lined up for them right now. They're starting with Arsenal next week.
I think the original four is going to stay the same. The only thing I can see jumping out is maybe Southampton. They do have a tough remaining schedule at the end. I like to think of Southampton as the pacemaker, only for two reasons.
For a reason, yeah.
Yeah, because one, they started out really hot, and you see a lot of teams constantly just start coming back and coming back and coming back. And I can see a true downfall after.
Yeah, it comes to depth, I think. Yeah, you know, it's like you said, it's half these teams have a lot of money. The top four, I mean, that's why Liverpool and Spurs, to me, if anybody has a chance, because they have players all over the field. And eventually, they're going to at least put up a fight.
And my pick was Christopher Oboyo from Nigeria, who said, in my own opinion, Spurs, Liverpool, Manchester United will have the fighting four positions because my Blazing Gunners will finish third. As much as I want to agree with that, there's two things we have to think about. Arsenal's health. Can Arsenal actually finish majority of their prime games? Because lately, they're on a hot streak since Ozil's back. Theo Walcott's back. But you also got to put, can they actually handle the pressure going down to it?
That's always been their traditional problem. Arsenal's always been a good team. But since who knows when, 05 or 04, they haven't been able to finish strong through the season.
I mean, they just came off a 05 victory. So you never know that luck or that skill, whatever we call it, rubs off into the next game.
Yeah, but again, Champions League, if they can, they're going to have to make up their minds and at least lose on one of those. Because if they want to put up a fight for both tournaments, I think it's going to be too dreamy for them.
So moving on to the news, Alex Sanchez and Danny Welbeck will be back in the lineup for Arsenal this week. Southampton has the most injuries this week with 8, and Cuadrado will be displaying his talent with his brand new team against Aston Villa. Games to watch over the weekend: Arsenal versus Tottenham, Chelsea versus Aston Villa, and Everton versus Liverpool. And check your local listings for the time. And check us out on Facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more soccer stories, soccer news, transfer stories, and injuries. And you can check us out on Sunny's page for the African Cup blog. We have a lot of good blogs going on.
Yeah, and that's on blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. So you can we're going to wrap it up this Sunday. Sunny has let us take over his blogging area for the duration of the tournament. So just watch out for those few last posts, and thank you for reading our stuff.
And thank you for listening to us, and have a great weekend.
Our African football guru, David Legg, returns now with a Nations Cup quiz question.
Which countries have won the Africa Cup of Nations without conceding any goals in the entire tournament? Now, that's got nothing to do with the qualifiers. It's just the final tournament. And we're going way back, Sonny, to 1957, to the first Africa Cup of Nations, right up to 2013 in South Africa, when Nigeria were crowned champions for the third time. So just to repeat that question again, which countries have won the Africa Cup of Nations title without conceding a single goal in the entire tournament? The deadline for entries will be the day after the Cup of Nations final, which is Monday, February the 9th. And then the following Monday, which is Monday, February the 16th, Sonny will announce the three lucky winners, and he will obviously tell you where to send your entries.
Thank you, David. And now David and I will give our addresses where you can send your answers. VOA!
It's David.Legg, and Legg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France Presse, .com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.legg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
Well, I'd like to invite our VOA listeners to send me your comments. We appreciate the feedback here at Voice of America headquarters in Washington. You can send me email at sonny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
Voice of America.
I also encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is, And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. In honor of Ivory Coast advancing to Sunday's Nations Cup football final, this evening we feature a hot song, Oké Ninkpin, by Ivorian singer Serge Beno. Let's give it a listen.
En Afrique, c'est chez moi. Afrique de fiers guerriers. Afrique de jolies femmes.
Afrique.